listen to Broken But Glorious.
Hulk Hogan, Hollywood Hulkster, whatever they call you, I'm coming after you, you coward.
Hello and welcome to Broken But Glorious. I'm Chris Lapp and I'm delighted to be joined online by Flynn Arlo. How you doing, Stephen Flynn?
I'm doing good, moving quietly nervous for this.
No, just relax. It's only questions about you, so you should know the answers.
Well, that's my worry.
Right, so yes, huge thanks for joining us this evening. Before we get into about your career, I just want to know how long you've been a wrestling fan?
Baby years, really. I had a little bit of a hiatus, I have to say. I was one of the ones that, like, when it was, that's for kids, isn't it? I'm like, no.
No.
So I went a little under the radar then, but then I got back into it with, my dad ordered, we've got the new Sky package sort of thing. And started watching it for nostalgia again, and then just fell in love with it all over again. And it hasn't changed since. So, and my dad won't admit it, but he's quietly in doing it as well. So,
yeah.
I haven't managed to get him in training yet. But
no. I think everybody has that mid-teenage years where they don't find more interesting things, like girls, beer, and rock and roll.
Probably. Yeah, no, not me. There's two.
Yeah, so who was your favourite wrestler growing up?
Oh, growing up.
Give your age away here, usually.
I am, yeah. I really want to be the one to be like, yeah, Randy Savage and. Nah, but clearly I've done my research. I've gone back and watched them all, but when I was growing up,
yeah.
It was always the smaller flippy guys.
Yeah.
I did love the, like, Randy Orton. Like psycho phase when he was like kicking everyone in the head sort of thing.
Oh, yeah,
I thought definitely. That was the coolest thing. But no, I was very much Evan Bourne, wow. Matt Sydal now, and very, very much just like if they could do a flip, I'd be amazed. Especially Evan Bourne specifically, like the shooting star press.
Yeah,
like I would have seen it 100 times, but if I saw it the 101st time, I would just, like, my mind would explode. And I loved it. Rey Mysterio as well was obviously another big one, which I think a lot of smaller wrestlers go to because he was the smallest guy in the big guy world.
I think 90% of people in their 20s I asked that it's Rey Mysterio or Jeff Hardy.
Yeah. Oh, Jeff Hardy as well, back when he was still in one piece. But no, that looking back at my looking at my like tastes now, it hasn't changed that much.
No,
still looking the likes of Prince Devitt for Finn Balor, and just more like Japanese junior style wrestlers, very kicky, very flippy, sort of. I don't know, just my kind of style.
So, what prompted you to don the tights and get into the ring for yourself?
That would be the final of the United Kingdom tournament.
Wow.
The very first one, like, that's how recent.
January 16, was it?
Yeah. God, was it that long ago now? But, no, I remember
was it 7? I think it was January 17. Oh, I'm getting mixed up now.
I'm kind of hoping so. I feel
January 17th. I'm sure. Right, I'll put it out there. I think it's January 17th because the Cruiserweight Championship was 16, right. Wasn't it? So yeah.
Ah, brilliant. They can come after you than me. No. I just remember I wasn't in a job at the time, and I had that wonderful free time that doesn't exist anymore. I was up at 3 o'clock in the morning, about a month after it took place.
Yeah.
And I'd heard a lot about it, the tournament, hadn't really watched a lot of the tournament. I've been keeping up to date, like, who was in it sort of thing, and thought, it's 3 in the morning, I don't have to get up, I'll watch I'll watch the final. And, like, just blew me away, really. I mean, I'd had that before, and like when I was a kid and stuff, but it was genuinely like, wow. And so I was out of the job and all sorts of stuff like that. And then to me, it always seemed like, you know, when you were a kid, you always wanted to be like a footballer.
Yeah,
sort football of thing. Rock star. And you're like, oh, okay, yeah, that'd be amazing. But like, I've tried it. I'm not really that good sort of thing. You know, you play football at school, you pick up a guitar sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then I was like, well, I am actually... You know, I haven't actually gone and tried to wrestle, sort of thing. I wouldn't know where to begin, sort of thing. So I looked up the local one,
yeah.
And Dad took me along because I wasn't driving then either. So that's always a fun conversation. Like, Dad, can you take me to wrestling training after, like, no previous mention of wrestling before? And, yeah, sitting your mum and dad down in the kitchen
yeah.
on a Sunday morning, just like, yeah, yeah, I'm going to be a wrestler. cool. But credit to them. They've been the most supportive. Like, they've been insane with it. So back now that I have a job, it's not so taxing on them. But they drive me to every training, pay for the training.
Oh, great.
Yeah, I know, right? So
was there a wrestler you wanted to mold your style around when you start training?
See, when I started, yeah, and then it never came to be, if that makes sense. I always thought, because I started, whilst I was training with AWW, where I'm at now, you know, I was paying my dues doing the security work and merch sort of thing, and I'd watch all the shows, and, like, it was amazing, but they always seemed to be, like, I wanted to be that one guy that would do all the stupid stuff, do you know what I mean? Like, hey, no one throws themselves out of the ring, I'm gonna do that. Like, especially as like a Bala fan, like that tope over the top sort of thing. I was just like, okay, I'll do that. I know I'm gonna do that. I've never tried it.
No.
I don't know I did. No sort of you know, mindset of well being about this is probably gonna hurt. I was just like, no, I'm gonna do that. And yeah, so very I learned very early on, I'm not very good at hitting people.
No.
Strongly, so I'm very kick-based for them. So I'm good at kicking, and I'm good at flinging myself at people. And that seems to be working for me so far.
Yeah, so tell us about your training. Who trained you?
Oh, it's amazing. I've been trained by Kevin O'Neill, Tomcat Kevin O'Neill, who's been in the industry, God knows, well over 20 years. And he's been amazing. Mickey Rowley as well, former British champion, current tag champion, actually, in AWW. He's been a huge part of my training. And just and basically anybody... higher up on the shows and that AWW all kind of muck in sort of thing. So like Dan Hawks, Dante on the shows, another former Academy champion and stuff.
Oh,
like everyone sort of mucks in together. And you know, whilst with people are demonstrating one thing in the ring, like there'll be another one talking to me outside it whilst watching. Like no one's never not learning.
No.
Down at the Academy, which I think is brilliant. We've recently moved into a bigger lockup, so we now have more space, which allows us to do so much more. It has meant we've introduced like bigger circuit training stuff to warm up, which is absolutely exhausting. But you know, all towards a better cause in the end, but it doesn't feel like it at the time. But no, like the training has been like second to none. And you know, I follow like a lot of people in the local area, and like obviously, you know, no knocks to them, I'm sure it's amazing, but like I haven't seen anything quite like the setup we have at the minute.
That's amazing.
So, yeah, what couldn't be happier.
Yeah, so you've got from the photos I've seen, you've got a great look. So talk us through your current gimmick. So.
I don't know. I'd love a leather jacket.
Yeah.
I spent a sizable amount of money on a Bala jacket.
Yeah.
A size as I'm not willing to really tell anybody because I didn't have a lot of money at the time. But I liked that. I don't know. I just kind of wanted to draw on, well, it's partly like drawing on, I think, what I knew and looks I knew and loved. Like, I was a big fan of Jimmy Havoc.
Mm-hmm.
And his look that he had going on. I played with the idea of having the like the half mask that he has, which was really cool. And then scrolling through Facebook, one of the, you know, the adverts, you know, when they, you think of something and Facebook just knows.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, one of those of the Purge style masks. And I thought that's brilliant because one of the main things that Mickey Rowley of AWW told me was, if you have a look, the roster itself has major, major talent.
Yeah.
There's not actually that much colour in terms of ring attire sort of thing. So I took that, and my favourite colour's red. So I was like, okay, well, I'm just going to go red. And so I found a jacket on, I think it was just on eBay somewhere, which again was another Facebook thing that just popped up saying, hey, you might like this because you're, know, going to go out and kill yourself, you might as well look good in it.
Yeah.
I thought, okay, that's awesome. That was, again, sizable money. And I just thought, well, I can wear that and that'd be fine, that'd be great. And then the mask came along, I was like, oh, that'll fit really well with that mask. And then it just kind of all came together. So it was a mix of just stuff I thought was really cool and, you know, like picking on you know, inspiration from, you know, the Jimmy Havocs and stuff like that. I'm hoping to get masks made and stuff, like custom, so I'm a bit more, you know, not ripping off a film. And with that, I'm hoping to get, you know, some jackets made when I have a bit more money behind me as well, because that'll be a bit more. But like, I it won't stray too far from the look I have now, because I feel like it has a certain look about it with the color and that, and I'm quite happy with that is at the minute. So yeah, no, I think part of it's I just think I look cool sort of thing.
Yeah.
Don't mind what other people think, and just like, I'm happy. It's an excuse to wear a bright red trench coat, leather trench coat out in it. So
yeah, it's pretty.
Needless to say, I haven't worn it in public.
No.
This is the infamous Cameron Solis, and you're listening to Broken But Glorious.
So take us back to your first match. What do you remember about it? And in hindsight, what was your opinion on how you did?
Honestly, I don't remember a lot about it. It was against Drake Winter, which I believe you spoke to before, who actually helped me talk to you.
Yeah, friend of the show.
And thank you. And it was for the Academy title, which he still has to this day, and he's had it for, I think he's had it since September last year.
He was about to go for it when he came in.
Right, okay, so not long after that then, because he's had it a good while.
It was about August, maybe July, last year. So.
And I believe he was... He wasn't pinned for well over 18 months, I believe. Due to underhand tactics, I'd like to point out Drake, especially in the case of our second match. I was so nervous. I remember that, being behind the curtain a good while before, and you know, all the other, you know, wrestlers backstage and personnel telling me, you know, take a drink on board before you go out. You'll be a serious dry mouth. And I'm there in a mask trying to drink water under a mask whilst not messing up my hair, because my hair's all wet and got this image in my head that I really wanted to portray and knew I wasn't going to, because I was sweating and I was wet from my hair and trying to drink, because that's what people have told me to do, which didn't work because I had, like, my mouth was just like a desert for the entire thing. I just remember having that, I'm going to do this dive in my head. You know, I'm going to be just like, you know, Sami Zayn and Finn Balor, and I'm going to do this, and it's going to wow everybody, and everyone will remember the kid that did the flip sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I from what I remember, actually, it went really well. I think I nailed what I needed to nail. for the most part, and we went for this dive, and for whatever reason, I hit the floor pretty hard. That match hasn't been aired on the on-demand thing that we had. I don't think we were doing that at the time,
No. So
I haven't seen any footage. But all I know is I hit that floor really, really hard.
No matting, or is it just hard?
No. The setup we have is we have, like the old community hall metal barrier things to keep the children away. And then it's literally just our 16-foot ring, 16, 18-foot, I think might be. Either way, our ring, and then that we just put that on mats, which is on just a community hall floor.
Wow.
So it was just hard laminate flooring. Really well done.
Yeah.
Dent-proof as well, apparently. But yeah, I landed reasonably flat on my back from that. Had a pretty big shock to the system. I had a couple of coughs, and instantly, my windpipe that went wet, which I then had that coppery iron taste going. I was like, "Oh, this is not good." Luckily, that was pretty much the end of the match anyway. So took the pin, cashing in on the injury, old Drake Winter.
Yeah.
and then immediately from what I've been told, the ref threw up the X and everything. Personnel came from backstage, carried me out. One of the trainees at the academy, who wasn't on shows, jumped the guardrail, I believe, to help me out, basically. And then my mum and girlfriend took me to the hospital afterwards. And was there. I think we got back at stupid o'clock in the morning, 3, 4 in the morning. Yeah, because they were looking for because of the height and the landing and the surface was that I might have broken my pelvis.
Ow, yeah.
Yeah, which I've since been told by my dad that has the highest mortality rate of any broken area.
Yeah.
Burn area, which he thought to tell me a week after it happened. Which I thought was nice of him. and then I had to get x-rays done on my pelvis pretty sharp. Just in case,
yeah.
And then we found it wasn't that, thankfully. So the next thing was broken ribs, any damage to the spine or anything. I was moving and walking, so it wasn't a huge thing, but they had to check that. And then basically checks everywhere else to see if I was all right. I had lung contusions to my right lung.
Wow.
And I had a bit of bleeding in the lung as well. So I had blood in the lung, which they basically said, yeah, you just have to get rid of that yourself.
Just cough it off.
And then antibiotics and stuff. Yeah, basically. Antibiotics and that to stop the bleeding. And then a lot of painkillers. And then see where we were. Sort of thing. So I didn't fracture anything, break anything, which I've been told is ridiculously lucky. So I'm very thankful for that. Funny story actually. They, because of the way I bled in my lungs, they found some cysts in there which they think were there from birth.
Oh right.
Yeah. But just because they bled in, when I had the scan, it flared up, and they were like, oh, you've got these things, which resulted in a bronchoscopy, which I'm not sure if you've ever had, is probably was more of a more traumatic experience than the actual fall itself.
Is that when you put a tube down your throat?
The nose. Completely. Well, they gave me a sedative, which I think worked after. I slept for about an hour and a half up. Fully conscious of the whole thing, feeling it go up the nose. Not a fan of that.
It turned out I had my gallbladder just gave up. So before that, I just had shooting pains and stabbing pains in my stomach.
Oh.
And they put that down and they said, do you want a sensitive? And I said, no, my girlfriend wants to go shopping this afternoon. So I had to have it with no sensitive, just straight down.
That is commitment. That is.
Well, if I had a sediment, I'd have to sit and I'd have had to stay there overnight. So I was like, no, I don't want to. I've still got plans today.
that is commitment. I know my girlfriend will listen to this, so like, I'm sorry, I wouldn't have done that. I would have napped for days straight. Like, you can shop whenever you want. I need to.
This is Ryan Parrott. This is Harry Cruz, and you're listening to Broken But Gloria.
So the AWW Academy is having an upcoming seminar with British legend Johnny Kidd on the 31st of March. It's between one and four, costing £20 per person. Have you been to any of these previous seminars?
I've not been to a Johnny Kidd one. I believe he did one a while ago before I joined.
Yeah.
But the Academy do loads of seminars. I've been to seminars with Johnny Storm.
Wow.
Who's, I think it's fair to say, is a pretty sizable face in the British wrestling industry. So that was immense. I've been to a couple of his now, and it's just, he's so chill. Yeah. Like, we have a show coming up this Sunday with him on, and he's so casual, and that just relaxes everybody, so we learn so much easier. Johnny Storm, we had one not long ago with Bram.
Oh yeah, I've seen him a couple of times. Huge.
Which was he's massive. I don't mean that in a derogatory way. I locked up with him and I could just feel he could snap me like a twig. I'm not a big guy myself, so
he did a show at my local one in town hall, and he brought back, he's walking in as we were walking in, like, you're massive. He doesn't look massive on TV, but
no, it's insane, isn't it? But he, again, another classic example, huge guy, like ripped to high heaven, could break you like a twig, but he's one of the nicest guys. He took individual time to train. Like, we had two in the ring and he'd help us, and like, if we weren't getting it right, we wouldn't stop until we got it right. One ear is damaged, sort of thing. So like, he was, you know, going above and beyond what he needed to. I feel he needed to, for like, you know, he didn't have to do that, if you know what I mean.
No, he
would have, okay, well, that's how you do it. Awesome. Well, you haven't got quite good, but try it again next time and you'll get it, sort of thing. He was like, no, you'll do it now, so I know you can do it, sort of thing.
Yeah.
So he one of the nicest guys. So I'm really looking forward to the Johnny Kidd one. I will be there on the 31st. I will be £20 out of pocket, and I'll feel like I've earned hundreds.
Yeah.
I can't wait. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll put a link in the description below this interview, so if anyone's interested in going. So what should fans expect from an AWW event?
Oh, a little bit of anything. Even as a fan, I'm really excited for where AWW, the company, is going. I've said this to everybody I've met. We have, especially in the last couple of months to a year, we've expanded so widely. So we have some hard hitters like Dante. Like, there are some spots he does that are simple, but God, do they look painful. But even in recent times, we've had the likes of Judoka, who's, you know, smaller than I am, but can do things that I could only dream of, the flips that he can do. And, you know, I train with him regularly, and I'm still in awe of some of the things he can do.
Wow.
The only problem is he's a bit of a, you know, cocky so-and-so, so he's going to hear this and he's going to take the academy for it now. But you know, you've got, it's important to point out he's very luchador-themed. So you've got anything from, you know, the Mexican wrestling to the hard hitters. You've got fantastic tag team wrestling now. Recently introduced some tag team belts.
Wow.
Currently being held by Troy Jones and Mickey Rowley. And they're feuding with the Metal Militia at the minute. And that feud could go on forever.
Yeah.
It's been going for a good couple of months now. And it could happily do it. And then there's quite a few on the roster I feel like, oh, you two could, you know, that's a tag team there, if it's not already, sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So no, that's definitely brilliant. We do have women's wrestling in occasionally, time to time. There are potential plans that might be coming to play, which I'm not allowed to say anything on. But yeah, if you're a fan of anything in wrestling, sort of thing, it'll be there.
Yeah.
If you're a big, you know, grappling fan, we have, you know, very good wrestlers. We would like to Drake Winter and Kevin O'Neill are very, you know, doing. They've also trained with, you know, Johnny Saint and Johnny Kidd, and so the technical wrestling there is brilliant as well. And we've got some brawlers, and we've got some, you know, luchadors and some flippy guys. I'm not sure where I fit into all this.
No.
You know, I like to kick people, but I don't hit anywhere near as hard as Dante. I like to do some flips, but I'm not a judoka, so, you know. So, but I like to, well, maybe I'll bring the in-between. There you go. But if you're a fan of wrestling in any sort of way, like the new style, the, you know, the Will Ospreys and, you know, all that, we have that. If you're a fan of the old style, sorted. You've got some hard hitters and some brawlers. Like, you, there's no way you can't have a good time at an AWW show. But yeah, no, come on, you'll have a good time, guaranteed.
Cool. So if you could face any wrestler on the current British scene, who would you want to face?
On the current British scene? That's a question. I'm quite a big fan of Marty Scurll.
Oh, wow.
Does he count as British scene? He's off in Japan at the minute. Ring of Honor.
He's not British.
He's not British, no. I'd have to say Tyler Bate.
Yeah.
Tyler Bate or Pete Dunne, mainly Tyler Bate, purely for that match. In the final, but also it's a Takeover Brooklyn they did.
Chicago, I think.
Chicago. Yeah. Which was, I personally say, was better than the tournament as well.
Yeah, that was our match of the year that year.
Oh, it's insane. I'd have to say Tyler Bate, actually. I don't know why I didn't think of that sooner.
No, he's amazing. I'm hoping he turned him heel soon, because I prefer him as a heel from what I've seen.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. Especially in the British Strong Style, having all three of them. That'd be something. Yeah. I've not really thought that high myself. Haven't gone, one day I'll do this sort of thing. I have, but like, excited, Chris. Not sure what sort of match it would be. It'd probably be a 2-minute squash, but no. I'd be over the moon.
So what advice would you give to somebody wanting to start out as a wrestler?
Just go for it.
Yeah.
Honestly, go. Stick to it. I always feel like there's two bullets to wrestling to bite. The first one is like ignoring everybody, because that was me and myself. I used to be quite a reserved, you know, cared what the person across the street thought of me when they looked at me sort of guy. Like, yeah. I would not. So if I was then to go, oh, I'm a fan of wrestling, you know, you get, you know, your usual bigots, oh, it's for kids, oh, you're gay sort of thing, like, and now I'm just like, now that I bit the bullet to do it and to do this thing that I love, you know, I honestly feel like I have a second family at AWW, which I never would have had if I hadn't bit the bullet. I'm having so much fun, I'm so much more outspoken, you know, I go out in tight biker shorts.
Yeah.
When I wrestle, and as someone who was really self-conscious before, like, it doesn't bother me now. I know I'm going to get fit. Maybe not Finn Balor-esque, but like, I know I'm going to get fitter.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't care for that anymore. It's not worth mine or anybody's time. If someone's taking the mick out of you, I wish you could just not care, because it does. They don't know you, especially in wrestling. Like, if you make an impact, make an impact for something good, they'll remember you for that. Like, it's once you twig that, and honestly twig that, no one can hurt you, no one can say anything. And because, you know, someone could say, oh, you're a crap wrestler. It's like, yeah, well, I'm always learning. And if I feel down, I have the family in the back of AEW that'll pick me up and will tell me how I can do better, etc. So that I'm not worried about. The second bullet is always hard work.
Yeah.
It is hard work. But if you stick to it, it'll happen. I trained for I think it was just over 2 years before I started getting onto shows. And I've been told that's quite quick. Starting from training to being on shows, I've heard that's quite quick. So like it's gonna take time, but if you really love it, then you will go through it, sort of thing. Like before the injury I had when I landed on the outside against Winter, I'd had a thing with my knee where I basically tore the muscles off my knee from combination of just wear and tear, and I was at that point I was working as a pot wash, going back and forth every day, and it just slowly tore the muscle away on my knee.
Yeah.
So I couldn't train, I couldn't do anything, and that was for a good month or two. Wow. And I was and the one thing in my head was, you know, I'm not training, I'm not making progress, this is going to slow me down, what if my knee doesn't hold out in my career, blah, blah, blah. And all these worries that, you know, I persevered and got through. You know, great people go out for like 6 months to a year out of a time. I don't know how they do that.
Yeah.
But like, if you stick with it, fight through. If you really, really love it, you'll do that. And like, I can assure you, there's nothing quite like coming out of those curtains and the reaction you get, cheer or boo. It's electrifying and it's addictive. So it is worth it. Just stick at it, and you will do well.
Yeah, my co-host lasted one training session. He said it hurt too much.
We brought my friend along, but one of the very early on in my training, and he just kept staring at the ring and he was one of those like, oh, it's all fake, isn't it, sort of thing. And he came to that one training and changed his mind.
Yeah. So what's the best advice somebody in the business has given you?
Best advice someone in the business has given me? Not to echo my own words, because they're not my own words, but Bram was one of the ones that told me to not give up, because people will try and drag you down. There are some nasty people out there.
Yeah.
You know, people that, you know, there'll be people in the crowd that tell you how rubbish you are at wrestling who have never stepped foot in a ring.
No.
Sort of thing. Just remember that if you are training and you have been in the ring, you know more than them. That's... You know what it's like to hit your back off that mat.
Yeah.
You know, you've been training, you've been learning. You know more than them. Let them have their hateful little bubble. If they're shouting abuse at you from the crowd or from the internet, whatever, bear in mind they took the time to do that. They took time out of their day to be angry for a little bit. Just you're doing better than them, to be honest.
Wow.
So don't let them get you down, sort of thing. Yeah, that was one of the, because that part of that seemed really simple, and I know that's going to seem like a really cop-out thing, just like, oh yeah, always be yourself, always try harder, sort of thing, but that came from Bram.
Yeah.
That's why it resonates with me a lot more, because like he was in NXT and then didn't quite make it in NXT.
He was the reason the Ascension were good, look at them now.
Exactly. Like, I saw the promotional thing for Bram with is it Connor?
Connor, yeah.
Yeah, I saw the promotional thing they did when before they were all weird apocalyptic Facebook thing. I thought that was way cooler. But people forget, you know, he had a pretty successful run in Impact.
Like, yeah,
WWE isn't the be all and end all. Like, he stuck with it and got those runs at other companies and things. Like, because he didn't give up, sort of thing. So as cliche as it sounds, not giving up has probably been my main bit of advice. Purely for A, it came from someone like Brad, but also, you know, with my injuries and stuff, like I've done it and it's worked, sort of thing. If that makes sense, I've tried it and it's worked. So I've had injuries and fought through them, and I'm now wrestling for AEW. You know, off to achieve my dreams because I followed that advice, sort of thing. So. Yeah, definitely. Just keep at it. Don't let anything get you down. You'll do well.
Okay, and where can the listeners see you in the near future?
In the near future, I will be at the Tipton Sports Academy in Tipton, funnily enough, on the 24th of March, so this coming Sunday. And I I don't know if my opponent's been announced yet. I should probably check that. But just in case, that show also holds Dante versus Kevin O'Neill versus Johnny Storm as well. Wow. So that's quite a headline to, you know, that in itself should be enough to get you over there. And then there are shows in Plymouth and Southampton, which you can find on my Facebook page, Flanalo Professional Wrestler. So yeah, and pretty much every month at AWW at the Hales Owen Colombo Hall in Hales Owen, the community hall there, there's a show every month there.
Yeah, I'll put the links to your Facebook page in the description below the interview. Do you have any other social media you want to promote?
I have an Instagram account, which I find a lot easier to keep up with because that's always on my phone at all times.
Yeah.
and that is just Flanalo Professional Wrestler. And that's where most, if there's any news, it'll be all over my social medias, but it's usually on Instagram first. So that's always the first one to go to get like the latest on Flanalo and anything Flanalo related.
Yes, yeah, so, all the links will be in the description below this interview. So I've really enjoyed speaking today. I'd love to have you on again in the future.
Fabulous, Chris. I look forward to.
Welcome everyone to Broken But Glorious.